You know, on the teaching of that Sunday or on the radio show.
That's right. Amen. Station ID, we'll be right back. And you know, on those Facebook posts, Pastor Jim, that we were just talking about, I love doing them. And I just wait on the Lord for some practical application, how it applies in our daily lives, what we're studying right now. That's the goal of those, is mm-hmm. to make it practical, to make people think about something, maybe to make a decision to go turn and go in the right direction on a certain topic. And we just love doing them there and share them. We encourage our audience to share them with your contacts. The more people get them, the better it is to hear the word of God. So anything else you wanted to say about that, or why we do this show week after week for 11 and a half years?
Well, we do this show again to spread the word.
Yes.
To take the word to anyone who will listen.
Right.
And let you know that God loves you. He's your healer, your restorer, your savior.
Amen.
He's the one who wants to know you.
Absolutely. Because he loves you so very
Amen.
Much, you know? We just love studying the word. And Nan, I know that you grew up in church, and so did Pastor Jim and I, all of us in some kind of a church atmosphere. But as life went on, we found that maybe perhaps some of our experience was just very cut and dried. We weren't on fire. I know that I began to recognize in my late 20s where, okay, I wanted more of the word. I wanted more depth in my life. I wanted to know God more in an intimate way. I wanted the Holy Spirit to be active and working in my life. You came to that realization. Pastor Jim and I both came to that realization. You want to comment on that? And then we'll go to PJ for that. That's how Waking My Soul is what I'm talking about. We just did that song.
We did that song. I was raised in a church, and at a Pentecostal church. So we were accustomed to raising hands and speaking in tongues and all that. I was accustomed to that. But, you know, there was something missing, and a depthness of relationship. There was just a little something missing. It's hard to really describe it. You know, I was in great churches, and a lot of good things happened there and everything, but there was that element of just kind of getting down to him being my best friend, him being my buddy, him being with me all the time. That was kind of like, that wasn't really expounded on at the churches that I went to as a young person, and then as an adult, same thing. But then later on in my adult life, I wound up getting involved with one particular church, and they really did a lot of the in-depth teaching, you know, and I came to a deeper relationship, if you will, of Jesus Christ, because I learned more about him and how he wants to be very much involved with every aspect of what is my issues or whatever I'm going through, or just being there.
Exactly. And you became what some people call rather fanatic, right? You like read your Bible and stuff?
Yeah, you know, it was kinda,
and you learned to praise God, and sometimes you'd raise your hands.
I did. It was funny you should say that, because I was just thinking yesterday, I've become quite radical.
Right.
Right now. I mean, even more radical than what I was. I've really become radical. We haven't really talked about it, but I've really become radical. More radical.
I'm going to propose to both of you, it's a whole thing about falling in love with Jesus, which I didn't even realize until in my mid to late 20s that I really didn't understand that. Growing up in church, pastor's daughter, I was a pastor myself at the time in my 20s, a youth pastor, when I began to realize that this whole thing with God, this relationship, I had taken it for granted, Pastor Jim. I had been a preacher's kid, missionary's kid, youth pastor myself, from the time I was 2 weeks old. I mean, 2 weeks old, my dad started his first pastorate in Rocheville, Indiana. And, you know, so I had always been in that, but it had not come alive. That song we just did, Awake My Soul, it had not happened in me. And as a result of that, I could speak, I could teach, I taught youth groups, I did all that kind of stuff, but the fire wasn't there. That's what I'm trying to say, the fire of the Holy Spirit. I didn't realize about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to be talking on soon in a few weeks, but that I needed more of God, that there was more of God to have.
Right.
You know, I didn't get it. PJ, talk to us.
Well, similar, because I grew up in a Methodist church, and I mean, I said it before a few weeks ago when I hosted, you know, I got saved every summer at summer camp.
Right. Didn't most kids?
Yeah. But I knew there was a calling on my life, and I did not want it. I mean, when
right.
my pastor told me to go to Campus Crusade for Christ, I just wanted to laugh at him. However, I had this overwhelming urge that I had to take a Bible with me to college.
Wow.
I mean, seriously, the only place I could find one was at the jewelry store downtown Greenfield. It was a hardcover Living Bible. That was my very first Bible. And I took it to Ball State with me. I mean, it was like an obsession. I had to get a Bible. I had no intention of reading it, but I had to get it. So my freshman year, I got saved. And I don't know, I was on fire, but I just always wanted more. I wanted to know as much of God as I could. So when a friend of mine gave me a book, Why Should I Speak in Tongues? I read it, and you know me, I had to study every little scripture Dr. Freeman had in there. And I realized this is for me.
Right.
So that Sunday morning, I prayed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I spoke in tongues. And yet, I mean, that's wonderful. And I believe that if I hadn't done that, I'd not be here today, literally.
Right.
But my experience was with me, very works-based. Just the family I grew up in, unconditional love was just unknown.
Right.
So, of course, like a lot of people, I carried that into my Christian walk. And it took me a long, long, long time, because every time I sinned, I figured I lost my salvation.
Sure. A lot of people feel that way.
And then just slowly I came to understand grace and God's unconditional love, that it's, and I think Casting Crowns, they have that song that really puts it well. It's not because of who I am, but because of who you are. It's not because of what I've done, but it's because of what you've done, not what I've done.
Right.
That's the wonder of God's love.
Right.
And, you know, God has so much for us. We just have to step into it, whether it's salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just a deeper walk with
Him.
And I think that's our calling every day.
Yes, it is.
Is to step into, okay, let's step out one more step.
Right.
Let's go one more step into this water.
Right. 10,000 reasons. Matt Redman, love this song. Let it bless you right now.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Praise Him with us.
Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, to find. So bless the Lord. Time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the
God, I love that song. Woo! Welcome back to Living the Good Life. Pastor Marcia here with Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, and Nan. We're going to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. And Revelation was written down from a vision that was given, an actual visit. Pastor Jim, you want to give a little history here with John? This is the John that we all know and love that wrote the book of John.
Yeah, John.
First, second, and third John.
Sometime before the fall of Jerusalem in 66 AD, John had moved to Ephesus. There's a lot of historical documents that show that he was the head of the church in Ephesus.
Right.
Some say he took Mary, Jesus' mother, with him when he went there. So he was the head of that church. He was quite the little troublemaker. Now, some of these stories may or may not be true, but I mean, there are, you know, he couldn't keep quiet about the gospel. So he was exiled. The emperor Domitian exiled John to the Isle of Patmos.
Right.
Domitian was the one who said that he should be called Lord and God.
Ooh.
And if you'll recall,
that's never good.
What Thomas said in John chapter 20, when he saw the risen Jesus, he said, "Oh, my Lord and my God." I'm sure Thomas said that, and I'm sure John wanted it included just as kind of a, this is the true Lord and God. So Domitian exiled him, and there are stories that he tried to boil John in oil and things, and nothing basically could kill John. He was the only one of the apostles who died a natural death. So here he is, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, which is just this small little island off, you know, off the Greek coast. And he has this vision.
I mean,
Jesus, in a vision, comes and talks to him.
Yes.
And basically unrolls this whole panorama of things to come.
And that's the book of Revelation.
Right.
And Revelation means the revealing of, okay? So this is a revealing of what's to come. And so many people get hung up on this, Pastor Jim. I've known a lot of people in my life who became very, very preoccupied, obsessed with the book of Revelation, with prophecies. with prophecy in this way, and really we're not good at living each life on a daily basis. That's all they could talk about. I've known people that very well that became so obsessed that you could take them to a party and they would manage to turn the conversation to the book of Revelation. I mean, I'm serious about this.
Even I'm not that bad.
But you know, there's been a lot of people that get this, and with the details, this book is full of details that will be happening at some point in time. And people love to know what's going to happen. We don't like that whole thing of being in the dark, you know?
Right.
About the future.
And I was one of those people, I admit.
I'm not talking about you. I took you to a party, and you never did talk about the book of Revelation.
But one of the things that got me to know Jesus in the first place was biblical prophecy.
Right.
Those of our listeners who are middle-aged will remember...
That would be you and Nan.
You're right. We'll remember the late great Planet Earth.
Oh, yes.
By Hal Lindsey.
Yes.
I just... ate that book from one end to the other.
Right.
You know, and praise God. I mean, there's nothing, and I've studied Book of Revelation I don't know how many times. But you know what I've come to find out? It's not as cut and dried as everybody seems to think it is. You know, a lot of what's in Revelation, we're just going to have to wait and see.
We're going to have to wait and see.
And that's okay. That was not okay.
A lot of gray area.
Yeah, that was not okay with me a long time ago.
Right.
I mean, you know, again.
People staked out positions on whether Jesus was coming back before the 7 years of tribulation. We call that pre-trib, mid-trib after 3.5 years, or
post-trib.
Right.
And people would argue.
Are you a mid-tribber? Are you a post-tribber?
Well, and people, some churches would actually put that in your doctrine, and they would not let you.
Right.
They would not take you in as a member unless you believe
the way they believe. Yes, it became crazy in years past. Yes,
right, right, and then there are those people who are scared to death of the book and
right.
don't even want to open it. I mean, you know, I can think of a few people I've run into at Beacon that have been that way. I can think of some that are the way you were talking, but I also know there were some that were just scared to death to even go to it. And it's not...
It's not to be afraid of.
It's
in
not
fact,
to be afraid of. And, you know, first of all, like I said earlier, it's full of great songs.
Yes, yes.
It's full of wonderful visions of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
And you know what? We win.
We win.
You know, that's the big thing. Who cares what happens before? We win.
Woo!
Jesus comes back. Overthrows the evil one.
Right.
We win.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, a revealing of Jesus, the Messiah. God gave it to make plain to his servants what is about to happen. He published and delivered it by angel to his servant John. And John told everything he saw, God's word, the witness of Jesus Christ. I love verse 3. How blessed the reader. This is the Message Bible. You can read it in your translation there, PJ, the first three verses in a moment. How blessed the reader. How blessed the hearts and keepers of these oracle words. All the words written in this book. Time is just about up. I love those first three verses of John chapter 1 because it says you're going to be blessed if you read it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be blessed.
Right. You want me to read it now? Okay.
Go ahead.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bondservants the things which must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his bondservant John, who bore witness of the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw.
Yes.
Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy.
Wow.
And blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. And I love the fact that you get blessed. And
yes.
It's what's cool here is when John wrote this, we didn't have Bibles like we did today.
Right.
Okay. You couldn't just run out to the Bible bookstore and purchase,
right,
you know, the Bible. What would I have possibly done?
Yeah. Right. Because you have 159.
Right.
Whatever.
But. That they used to do, because like you were lucky if a church had a copy of the Old Testament and maybe some of the New Testament, because, you know, they probably didn't even have a full New Testament in their possession. And certainly not like I look around, you have your Bible, Nan has hers, I have mine. You probably would have had, in the first century, you would have had the only Bible for Beacon.
Yeah.
And you had to read it aloud. So you get a blessing for doing that. And we as hearers would get a blessing for hearing it.
Wow. Verse 4, Revelation 1. I, John, am writing this to the seven churches in Asia Province. All the best to you from God who is. Now, we just sang, we heard this sung on Days of Elijah earlier. The God who is, the God who was, the God about to arrive, right? And from the seven spirits assembled before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, loyal witness, firstborn from the dead, ruler of all earthly kings. And then it's like the song that you're talking about. It's like a song that begins here. Glory and strength to Christ who loves us, who blood washed our sins from our lives. I love those two lines. Pastor Jim, what is it in your translation there? And then, Nan, I don't know. You have King James with you today, Nan?
I do.
Okay, hang on, Nan. Go ahead and read that glory and strength to Christ or whatever that is, those two words, those two lines. I don't know what verse it is because I'm in the Message Bible.
I think it's three. Blessed is he that readeth. No.
On down. Five.
It would be...
about five,
four,
six.
Or five,
yeah,
six.
John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne.
Go on.
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Yeah, there you go. Boy, that says it right there, Pastor Jim. That's the essence of the whole thing. Jesus loved us so much to go to the cross to die for us. There's none like him.
I love this because first he says, grace and peace to you who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits, or I know the New International has a footnote, sevenfold spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit. Who are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness.
Interesting, faithful.
I love faithful witness.
Because then, he did what he was supposed to do.
Right. The firstborn of the dead, and these are all titles of Jesus, ruler of the kings of the earth.
Yes.
And then, to him who loves us, and has freed us from our sins by his blood.
Yes.
And made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Yes.
Right here.
Wow.
What is to be afraid of?
Right.
In this? I mean.
He loves us.
He loves us. He's shed his blood for us.
Woo!
He's coming again. He's God omnipotent.
Right.
I mean, right
he's
here
got
at
a
the
plan.
Beginning.
He's got a
There's
plan.
There's all this wonderful comfort and praise and worship right here.
It's worship. This whole book is about worship. You see worship all through the book, okay? And I love this. In the Message Bible, it says, glory and strength to Christ who loves us. So right there, that's very important, listener. God loves you. We say that a lot on these shows, but we want you to hear it. God loves you, who blood washed our sins from our lives. That's what Jesus did when he came to this earth. He purified us by his blood, right? Who made us a kingdom, priests for his Father forever. And yes, he's on his way. I think that is the good news, besides the fact that he forgives our sins and died on the cross for our sins. The good news is he's on his way, Pastor Jim. He's coming.
Amen.
He's coming back. We've been singing it. The music today. Riding on the clouds. Here he comes.
Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even wow. So, amen.
I mean, want to comment on that?
Oh, yeah. I love it. He's coming with the clouds, and we talked about that a little bit at church this morning. I think it's talking about the glory cloud.
Right.
You know, I'm not sure it's going to be cumulonimbus or whatever. He's coming with the glory cloud.
Yeah.
And every eye will see
every
him.
Every eye will see.
I don't know how that's going to happen. I just kind of figure CNN and MSNBC and even Fox are going to cover this.
I'd say everybody, you know, will.
I'm seriously, because...
And in this day and age, you can. Everybody
exactly.
See it at the same
and,
time.
You know, beforehand, no, not so much. He would have had to flip around the world before he set foot in Jerusalem. Now,
yes.
I mean,
it's going to be almost instantaneous.
So
be on every TV.
I mean, he's going to descend.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting blessed over
yes.
here. Yes. He is going to descend from heaven. And when he crosses into our dimension out of heaven, I think scientists are going to start to see this.
Right.
Because he's not just going to suddenly poof appear
no.
in the sky. They're going to see him coming. He'll be
yes.
riding, as we find out much later. He's going to be riding a horse.
And, a white horse.
And followed by all
Woo!
The angels. And
well, remember Luke 2? We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Luke 2, where the shepherds are out there tending their sheep. And all of a sudden, the heavens open, and there's the angels, and they descend, and they begin to sing glory to God in the highest.
And that's what's going to happen
here. That's the kind of thing that's going to happen.
The heavens are going to open.
Yes.
People are going to, I mean, this is not some secret coming.
Oh, no. This is going to be very well known. Everybody.
And I can just see.
It's going to be on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. You bet it will be. I'll be posting.
Yeah.
If I'm still here.
Right.
But, you know, I can... just see like people who are covering, maybe the news reporters covering Jerusalem, because I think that's close to where the final battle is going to be anyway.
Right.
So they're all going to be there anyway.
Yes.
And they're going to point their cameras up there, and all of a sudden they're going to see this man on a horse followed by hundreds of millions.
Of angels.
Of angels and saints.
Wow.
Behind him. And, I mean, every eye is going to see that. I mean,
yes.
Can you imagine?
Ooh. Oh, it's so
and
wonderful.
And they will mourn for him because some of the people are going to realize, oh, my God.
Oh, my, it was real.
It was right. I was wrong. Here he comes. And they will mourn for him. And they'll wail. The English Standard says they'll wail.
Yeah.
But they'll see the one they pierced. And to me, that means Jesus still has those wounds.
Marks in his arms.
Unlike us, who, when we get our resurrection body, it's going to be perfect. You know, all of our imperfections are gone.
No.
Jesus still carries
yes.
the wounds. Later on, John says, I saw a lamb as if it had been slaughtered.
Yes.
The marks are still visible.
Woo!
And people are going to see those and realize, this is Jesus. And...
oh, my. Oh, my.
Ooh.
Hold that thought. Chris Tomlin, how great is our God? I don't know what better song for right now, because he is so, so amazing.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. How great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. And age to age, with me how great is our God, and all will see how great, how
praise
great
God, how great is our God.
Is our God.
Amen, 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 and yes, he is. We are in Revelation chapter 1. How great is our God? What an amazing, amazing time it's going to be when Jesus does descend back to this earth in his second coming. Pastor Jim, I think there's a lot of skeptics out there in this world who believe that that's just a pie in the sky when you die, you know, thing.
Yeah, well, people think it's just a big old fairy tale. And, you know, I mentioned it this morning. Peter said there are going to be scoffers who say, well, where's the promise of his coming? When's he coming back? You know, how come he hadn't come back now? You know. And we just need to remember God's timing isn't our timing. You know, Peter says, you know, one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. God is above time, stands outside of time. He came into time in Jesus. But in a sense, he stands outside of time. He has his perfect timing. It was perfect the timing for Jesus to come the first time that he came. Because there was a spiritual hunger.
Yeah.
Rome ruled the world, most of the known world, and there, fortunately, I mean, Romans were great. They set up roads, you know, the famous Roman roads. You could walk from one end of the empire to the other and never leave a Roman road. So, I mean, for that day and time, it was a great, I mean, well, look at Paul, how much he traveled and
yes,
spread the gospel.
Right, yeah.
It was just a perfect time.
Right.
And, you know, well, Paul wrote, when the fullness of time came, and
sure,
he said it in Galatians, God sent his son.
Right.
When the fullness of time comes again, Jesus is going to return. And, you know, Revelation basically is to get us ready for it.
Right.
You know, not for us to sit around and get in our own little doctrinal dugouts about what this means and what that means. But you have to look at the whole picture and remember, you know, Revelation is not just a prophetic roadmap. It's a way to live.
It's a way to live. To be in love with God.
Right.
To want his kingdom to come on the inside of us. For us to be that into his word and into expectation. He wants us to be like little kids that are waiting on Christmas, you know? He wants us to be that excited about the coming of Jesus, the second coming mm-hmm. of Jesus. And for a lot of people, 2,000 years have gone by and Jesus has not come back. And I think a lot of people around Jesus thought that he would come back in their lifetime. You want to address that?
Well, sure. I think at some point Paul even did.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he'd be here by now. I mean, I got saved 45 years ago, or shortly be 45. Oh, my heavens, that makes me feel old.
It should, because you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But, you know, that was in the height of, you know,
the Jesus movement,
the Jesus
when we were expecting Jesus back
expecting
any moment.
Him any day, and then, sure, because so-and-so, biblical teacher, said a generation is 40 years.
So it had to be by 1988.
So it had to be by 1988, because Israel had been a nation for 40 years at that point.
Right.
Hey, Israel's been a nation for 70 at this point. So, you know, we're 30 years down the road. And yet, I'm not going to be a scoffer.
Right.
I mean, I know certain other things have to happen.
Right.
I mean, you know, won't go into all of them here, but there are certain things that need to happen.
Right.
And when they do, praise God. You know, we'll know. And we'll know that
right.
It's a fulfillment of prophecy. But we need to be almost standing on tiptoe.
Right.
Because, well, Peter says, you know, looking for and hastening
right.
the coming of the Lord.
Right.
How do we do that? By preaching the word, by living a life that draws people to Jesus.
Yes.
Because Jesus said in Matthew 24, when the gospel is preached to all the nations, then and only then will the end come.
And with that said, it's so important, and as you meant, I'm going to go back to your point. When we concentrate on doing our part to get the gospel out, when we care enough to pray for the salvation of souls, talk to us, Nan. When we actually take those opportunities that God puts in our path instead of just walking away from that person who needs prayer or encouragement or comfort or peace or whatever, hope, whatever, you know?
I think we ought to take advantage of those opportunities.
Oh, we've got to.
And move forward.
We've got
to. I mean, what a great, I mean, God brings people into our lives for reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And many times those reasons are for us to minister to them, or maybe they minister to us.
Right.
But we need to reach out to those people who are hurting, who are lost, who are longing for something. We have the something they need. It's Jesus Christ.
But amplify on that, because let's say you're at work and somebody comes in and they're hurting and they've just got a diagnosis of cancer. Well, that's too bad, dear. I hope you do well. Goodbye. Gotta go. No, you don't do that.
No.
Especially not Nan.
Especially not Nan. Why don't you do that?
I pray with them.
Why?
Because there's power in prayer.
Amen.
There's power in
yes.
prayer. And you know,
we keep on keeping on. We're right. faithful to pray for people and care about them. And go ahead. Go ahead. No, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, you're fine. You're fine. We need to pray with them. You know, I mean, and God brings people. It's really, it's almost like kind of a responsibility we have. It's we're responsible. I'm responsible for the people he brings into my life.
Absolutely. It's not kind of a responsibility.
No.
We are responsible. I go back to that point you made. I agree with that. Go on.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, like, well, you know, like my job situation right now is changing and shifting a little bit. And in the midst of that shift and change, God has said, depending on how you're going to have the opportunity to really reach out to your boss.
Wow.
In this situation.
Right.
And I've been doing it.
And you've been doing it.
And I find myself becoming bolder and bolder in doing it, you know?
Right.
But I'm responsible for reaching out to her with the love of Jesus.
That's
right. And
letting
her see that's what she needs.
That's exactly right.
So we
right.
have a responsibility when God brings people in our lives that, you know, we get a blessing out of doing what we're supposed to do. They get a blessing out of God moving in their situation. It's a win-win.
But so many people don't think they have any responsibility to those in their life to pray for them or care about them or show them love or kindness. They, Pastor Jim, talk about that, because I think so many people have given up their responsibilities and don't think it's that important.
Well, yeah, I agree. And I found those verses I quoted in verse 9 of 2 Peter 3 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you," or patient on your account, "not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come, should reach repentance."
Amen.
And they're not going to do that without us.
Right.
They're not going to do that without us sharing the gospel, like Nan was talking about. That's just not going to happen. And in verse 12, it says, well, in verse 11, "Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming day of God?" So it's that living a life of being set apart, being godly, and walking in God's love.
Exactly.
I mean, that's all part of this, is because walking in God's love leads to being holy and godly. That kind of speeds up the clock, as it were.
It does.
And it helps us to bring people to repentance, because if we're actively witnessing under the power of the Holy Spirit, and then if our lives reflect Jesus, because sometimes then people may hear us talk about Jesus, but if our lives don't reflect him,
right,
they're going to say, well, see. But if our lives reflect Jesus, they're going to say, wow. Nan's got
That's
something
it.
I want.
That's it.
You know, Nan's got that peace that passes all
right.
understanding
there you
that
go.
I want.
When you were talking about that, Nan and Pastor Jim, it reminded me of Jesus' words right before he went to heaven in Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave this charge. "God authorized and commanded me to commission you." I love that. to commission you, okay? Go out and train everyone you meet, far and wide, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. God is with us when we are doing the work of the Lord that he's called us to do. Pastor Jim, go ahead.
And I want to just focus in on the last, very last word of that scripture.
Go ahead.
Age. Jesus' second coming is not the end of the world.
No, it's just the end of a season.
It's the end of this age.
Right.
Okay, because so many people, I used to think when I was a kid, I grew up near another Protestant denomination people, and every time that the sky would turn red, like at night when we used to have mercury vapor lamps, and if it was cloudy, the sky would look red.
Right.
I thought, oh, this is it. Jesus is coming back. I am so scared. The world is going to end. No, it's the end of this age. Mm-hmm. A new age. The millennium starts when Jesus comes back. And after that, new heaven and new earth.
Yes.
You know, I think that's what scares people. It's the end of the world. No, it's just the end of an age.
End of an age.
We're moving into the millennium now.
Right. Yes. Wow, we got to talk more about this soon. Listen to this song. I love it. Give me Jesus. Love it.
Oh, give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Oh, give me Jesus. When I am alone, oh, when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. When I come to die, when I come to die, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Oh,
is all I need. Oh, it's all I need. Won't you give me Jesus? Oh, it's all I need. Morning when I rise, when I lay my head down, hey, oh, I want more, said I want more. You can have this world, you can have all of it, all of it, all of it.
Lord, that's exactly our hearts today. We want you.
It's all I need. It's all I need. Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, he's all I need. Give me Jesus.
Lord, we want you. We want you to so rule and reign in our hearts and our lives that when people encounter us, bump into us, spend time with us, they feel your presence. When they interact with us, they feel your kindness, your sweetness, your love, our concern for whatever they're going through. That, Lord, when they encounter us, they know that we're full of your love and compassion, and that we want you, God, to bless them and heal their bodies and take care of their emotional wounds and bruises. Lord, we need you. That's what it's all about. It's what this show is always about, is because without you, we can do nothing, but with you, we can do all things. And Lord, right now, we acknowledge our need for you. We need you. Blessed Lord, we need you. We can't do this show without you and your anointing. We can't live our daily lives without you. God, we can't do it. We're powerless. We're human. We make so many mistakes and hurt so many other people and do things that we look back and, why did I say that? Why did I do that? And Lord, we acknowledge right now, we need you in our lives because you, Lord, are our guiding force. You're full of love and joy, peace, and you want to change us and cause us to be like you. So, Lord, the prayer of our heart today as we finish this show is give us more of you, Lord. Give us more of you. Give me Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whoa. Pastor Jim, man, I want to give you both an opportunity to say something here.
Oof.
Wow.
Yeah, amen. That's a good way to start. Amen. Just, I can't help, you know, that last song. That always gets me. You saw me in here.
Oh. We got to do that next Sunday.
Yeah, we do.
We got to do
that
next Sunday.
I was just thinking that.
Me too. Oh.
That and maybe 10,000 reasons.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with you. There we are. Same page as always.
That verse that Danny sings about, when I come to die.
Yes, when I come to die.
You know.
He lost his wife at a very young age to cancer.
Yes, he did. And what she wanted for him was to go on American Idol. And he did, and that's a whole different story. But he's runner-up.
Right.
You know,
Danny Gokey.
There, you know, just personally, there is somebody who really overcame some tragedy.
Yes.
He's got some great, great songs. I mean, but I hear that verse, you know, when I come to die. And,
yeah.
You know, the writer of Hebrews said Jesus took away the fear of death.
Yes.
You know, he took the power away from him who held us in the fear of death, because he's been there and he conquered it. He says in Revelation, I have the keys of death and
mm-hmm.
hell
mm-hmm.
or death and Hades. I've got the keys.
Right.
So he's already conquered death. And when Jesus comes back, the last enemy, Paul says, is death.
Yes.
And death will be swallowed up in victory.
Woo! Praise God.
We win. We get the victory in the end. And that's what's wonderful.
Oh, praise God, yes.
You know, we don't have to be afraid.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know that anybody wants to die, but I'm not afraid.
Right.
I know when it happens, I'll be with Jesus. And,
so wonderful.
You know.
That realization. That truth.
Yeah. And I'm more concerned about the people I'll be leaving behind.
Sure.
Than I am myself.
Right.
You know.
Give me Jesus.
Yeah, give me Jesus. When I come to die, give me Jesus. When I am alone, give me Jesus. Some of our listeners may be lonely.
Right.
You know, maybe feeling alone. Well, you know what?
God loves
Jesus
you.
Jesus will stick closer than
yes.
a brother.
Yes.
He loves you. He wants to fellowship with you.
Amen.
And the very first verse, in the morning when I rise.
Right.
What a great habit to get into. Good morning, Jesus.
Amen.
What you
Amen.
Got in store for me today?
Woo! Pastor Jim, you're a blessing. Thank you so much. I love working alongside of you. How many years now have we been pastors together? Eight?
It'll be 10.
10.
It'll be
it's
10.
It's crazy good.
It'll be 10 years since we moved down
wow.
here Labor Day of this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, okay. So almost 10. Praise
almost 10.
God. Praise God. Thank you very much
Hardly.
For being on the show and bringing your wisdom and just the anointing of God. We said when we walked in the door, you and I today, this is going to be an amazing,
amazing
show. And we're there. Nan, final word before we get out of here.
Well, my thing is just, you know, we've talked about Jesus and we've talked about Jesus and
we've talked about
we've
Jesus.
Talked about Jesus. But what I would want to leave the listeners with is, if they don't have Jesus living in
yes,
their lives, accept
yes.
him.
Accept him.
Invite him in. And then you can have all the excitement of what we're talking about.
Exactly.
And the excitement that we have in living and serving him.
Mm-hmm.
I just encourage them to accept Jesus in their life. Just,
accept him.
That's it.
Praise God. Thank you, Nan. Thank you both. Praise God. It's just been a wonderful time. And as always, we encourage you to go to our podcast right here on tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcast, go to Living the Good Life. Listen to the show again. Pete will have it up by this evening, usually. He has them up very quickly for us. So you'll be able to listen to it and tell people about it. And right away, in a few minutes, he will. He's right here motioning to me how quick he is, and he is. So anyway, we love being right here on TantalkNetwork.com, bringing you the Word of God every Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. Tell people about the show, Living the Good Life, and ask them to tune in or go to TantalkNetwork.com, go to podcasts and catch some shows, and fill your heart with the Word of God, because that is what you need. That is all you need. You need God in your life, and we each do. And that is what changes us and causes us to be all he wants us to be. We encourage you to use our prayer line, prayers at bohmglobal.com. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. Go to our website, and it is also bohmglobal.com. You can write Pastor Jim and get some wisdom. Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com. Full of wisdom, that man. Mine is just pastor at bohmglobal.com. So we hope to hear from you. God bless every one of you. And know that it's not far to Jesus. And we encourage you to get in the Word of God this week and let him minister to you. God bless you. As always, we invite you to listen again next Sunday afternoon and catch our Facebook post this week, probably towards the end of the week. You can find it there. on Facebook. God bless every single one of you. This has been Pastor Jim, Nan Watson, and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister, bringing you the Word of God today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's not far to Jesus. He's right there waiting to talk to you and help you. God bless you.